The Rock acknowledges Roman Reigns. Rey Mysterio returns, and Sting rappels down from the ceiling into our hearts as he has his final match. This is the Dangerous Jobbers Pod.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
I'm better than you.
My eyes are red, out in the back smoking a joint, but then again,
you know it.
Woo, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm your boy, Stevie Jobber.
And I'm your boy, Dangerous Duke.
And welcome back to the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast, but I'm wrestling over one podcast at a time.
Yes, sir.
We are at a very special time, and I am in a very happy place in my heart for some things we will talk about later. But first, just a few things. We are on our fight to 400 subscribers on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe if you are not already. Also, every pod, every regular pod, we do the wrestler of the pod. And this pod, I have a special one from MLW. She's the longest reigning MLW featherweight champion. She is the kick demon, Jhenai Kai. So go follow her on TikTok, on Instagram. If you're watching MLW, you should already know the kick demon, Jhenai Kai. She's got a great look. She's got very educated feet. And she's just great, man. She's just great. So if you get a chance to check her out, Jhenai Kai on our social medias, that is her, our wrestler of the pod for this pod. A few amazing things happened. We are still on the road to WrestleMania. A lot of crazy twists and turns this week. But first stop is AEW Revolution. Mm-hmm. As we said before, Sting has had his final match. And as heartbreaking as that is, he went out super on top. But before we get to that, there's some other title matches we want to touch on. So first off, I want to get to Orange Cassidy, probably the best mid-carder in AEW, probably the heart and soul of AEW right now. He's main evented countless times. He's put on tremendous matches. He's been probably one of the most solid wrestlers of 2023 for AEW. As far as controversy, as far as consistency, as far as just going out and delivering and being organically over with or without creative. Cassidy went into Revolution, Continental Champion or International Champion, whatever they're calling it now. International?
International.
Cassidy, the longest reigning international champion, fought went one-on-one with the not the Undisputed Era. What are they calling it now? I go to Undisputed Era because it's my go-to because it's still all the same guys. He fought Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that because I'm gonna keep saying Undisputed Era. I'm sorry. I'm just not gonna say anything. It's Adam Cole and the boys. It's Undisputed Era. I'm sorry. I'm just holding a name for it.
Undisputed Kingdom.
Undisputed Kingdom. You see how close that is? It's like the War Raiders, dude. Come on. Anyway, Cassidy fought Strong. Strong won because Cassidy, after going through a series of grueling matches, was already selling a back injury. And if we know anything about Roderick Strong, he is the king of the backbreaker. His whole arsenal, which I love about Strong and some of the other people we'll talk about soon. He has this moveset surrounded by a body part or certain types of moves like suplexes, backbreakers, different innovative things like that. Long story short, Roderick Strong wins, but the news of the night is not somehow Cassidy's long reign ending, more so Kyle O'Reilly showing up during the celebration of Roderick Strong. So Strong wins the title. Kyle O'Reilly shows up and they're waiting for the embrace. The whole Undisputed Kingdom is out there. A whole Undisputed Kingdom minus Wardlow and Adam Cole because they were doing other things. But Mike Bennett, and
Taven.
Mike Bennett and Matt Taven were out there. Kyle O'Reilly comes out there. They're expecting an embrace. And Kyle, who I'll admit, as even though I'm happy he came back, he did look a little bit like he just got out of bed. Seemingly did not want any piece of the Undisputed Kingdom. He leaves the ring in a look that's very saddened. He's not sure where he's at. I'm not sure if Kyle is going to be on his own. I'm not sure that he's joining the Undisputed Kingdom. It doesn't look like it. But overall, I think Kyle O'Reilly's a great single star, so I kind of don't even want him to join. Where's your head on that?
Okay. You know how much I love Kyle O'Reilly, so this is the perfect place for me to start. I agree with everything you just said. Whether he joins or doesn't join, it's not that big. I'd prefer he didn't join, because the best Kyle for me is a Kyle by himself, if that makes sense. I know a lot of people don't really know Kyle outside of being in a tag team with somebody, whether it's Bobby Fish, Adam Cole, Roddy. I think Kyle's better off by himself anyway. He's done some of his best stuff outside of being in a group. Mm. You know, you talk about Ring of Honor with Adam Cole, that match that they had for the world title, that was probably the best match of his life. And then you talk about when Undisputed Era broke up in NXT, again, the match with Adam, great. Tag teaming with Pete Dunne, great. Kyle can do anything he wants to at this point. He's great in the ring. He can actually talk, which is a surprise for most in a group. So I feel like Kyle being on his own is kind of the best thing for him right now.
You know, it's funny, too, just to speak of the situation. Him beating Orange Cassidy, Strong beating Orange Cassidy for the title is actually funny, because speaking of Kyle O'Reilly in NXT, I do remember an episode of NXT when Kyle was on his own and he came out sort of dressed exactly like Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
As a nod to him. So maybe that's foreshadowing. I don't know, but I'm with you. I feel like Kyle is always better on his own because he's such a complete package and nobody really gives him enough spotlight to shine on that. But he can succeed in anywhere you put him. Good guy, bad guy, tag team, single star. He can go with the absolute best of them, and he always
comes out for the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone else that's coming out for the better, Eddie Kingston, went one-on-one with Danielson once again. And one, I was very nervous. I was not sure. I was very unsure because, I mean, even though Danielson doesn't really like to win titles nowadays, I don't know if that's creative, or I don't know if that's just Danielson being like, I just want to
wrestle,
beat people up. Yeah, I just want to wrestle. I don't even think Danielson's at a place where he wants any more accomplishments. Yeah. I think he's at a place where he realizes he's a Hall of Famer. And he's like, it isn't like, you know, all this extra stuff is just like me doing what I love. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't get to do it. That being said, Kingston beats Danielson. They shake hands after. Very important. That's putting Kingston over. More so over than he already is, but also elevating the title. Just a lot of love for Kingston. I don't have too much to say. I'm just very happy, because I was nervous going into that. They were going to go with Danielson. So very happy Kingston gets to keep those belts and elevate his status even more.
Yeah, Kingston's definitely been showing his ass off lately as carrying the company, but not with just one title, but multiple titles. The hard work is paying off for him, and it's nice to see him finally get that nod. And, you know, for guys like Danielson to reciprocate that and, you know, put the guy over, help elevate him. That's why people like Danielson do this now. Like, when you're at that age, when you're at that stature, not to call him old or anything, but you've accomplished all you wanted to accomplish. So now you're here to just leave the business in a better place than when you found it. And I believe he's succeeded with that and is succeeding with it right now. So I have no gripes with it. I love how everything turned out, and kudos to Kingston.
Yeah, man. I find that interesting. I find the whole dynamic of Blackpool Combat Club interesting. But that's for another day.
Mm-hmm.
On to people who are probably not leaving the business in a better place than when they left it. Christian Cage retained the TNT Championship against Daniel Garcia. Part of me wishes Christian just never went back to WWE, because I've come to realize that an unhinged Christian is the best Christian. Like, Christian on the indies has always been probably one of the best, funniest, most entertaining pro wrestlers to watch since the first day he ended up in TNA. He immediately skyrocketed to a main event status. He immediately proved to be everything that he thought he could be. And somehow doubling back to AEW after how long being retired and clearly the second guy when you compare him to Adam Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
To see him on this diabolical run, it's still so entertaining for me to hear him talk and to see him wrestle and to see the victories that he can still achieve. He's so organically over that him beating Danny Garcia, like in a Danielson situation, this would never happen. But I think because in a Danielson situation, that would never happen, Christian going the total opposite way is what makes you love Christian so much. He just believes in being a bad. He does be being a bad guy so well that it's almost better than MJF.
Oh, excuse me.
What do you think? Maybe I'm jumping the gun here.
Yeah. I mean, you had me up until the almost better than MJF thing. But I kind of agree with you, but I also kind of have a different theory. Like when you said, how did you say it? It was when comparing Christian and Adam,
mm-hmm,
to the indies and the WWE thing. I feel like as far as Christian goes, no, I'm going to compare him to two different people here, but just go with me and tell me if you get it. Nobody's going to care for a Casey Jones.
Mm.
When you have Thor right next to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Casey Jones is cool and all. Casey Jones is nice. But when you have Thor it's like.
Yeah, he's not beating up Thor.
Yeah, it's Thor, like, all right, here we go. 6'4", 260, long blonde hair, muscles, charismatic. It's,
I don't know, man. I feel, do you mean Thor and I feel like, to keep it Marvel, maybe Thor and Star-Lord would be a clear
comparison. Yeah, okay, better. But I was saying,
But I get what you're saying. Like, Casey is like, I don't want to discredit Christian to Casey. I mean, Christian's got a little more than Casey. But
okay, so
I see what you're saying. Like a Star-Lord to Thor kind of thing, where it's like, clearly he's levels above where you are. Yeah. But that doesn't discredit, like, how good you are. It's just he's so much...
Yeah,
more elevated, but I see exactly what you're saying.
And you're easier to hate than Thor.
So much easier. So much easier. I mean, we hated Star-Lord.
Yeah.
No, quite some time. But Casey as well. Casey came off like a dick a lot of times. But yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. He's so much easier to dislike. Just, I don't know. But there's something about that like his ability to read the room. His ability to read the room and give you exactly what you want to a level you didn't expect him to go is like so great. Yeah. So great. So great. On the backs of bad guys that are really great, Pac returned. Just a short thing on that. Pac returned. He gave a promo. He said he's like a cockroach, which I very much believe. I expect them to come back and have great matches. I think that's all that really needs to be said about that. There's no real direction for Pac. He's back.
Yeah, yeah. He's back. And I like seeing the bastard anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Storm beat Purrazzo. I don't know that anyone called it differently.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it's Deonna Purrazzo. You don't want to see Deonna Purrazzo lose, but
no.
The Timeless Toni Storm thing is entertaining, so you kind of got to ride the wave while you can.
Yeah, sorry. He was just there to get beat that time, Purrazzo. You'll have to
right person
double wrong. Back.
Right person to win, just wrong time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. If you can find a creative way to double back to this match, Purrazzo, I think you can win. But that Timeless Toni Storm gimmick right now is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
On fire. And we know right now, until creative gets a little better, anything that goes is going. And that's just how it is.
Just watch.
Unless you're Swerve, because he did not pull off the triple threat. They had the AEW.
Talk about a Swerve.
And talk about a Swerve. But you know what? I'm not as surprised as everyone else. I think a lot of people might have been going into that thinking that Swerve was going to pull this out. But I knew that Hangman being in the match meant that he wasn't.
Yeah.
Just for Hangman's character. Which is a character I've never really seen before. And I have to hand it to whoever came up with the idea, because I don't want to give the credit to creative, because a lot of times it's not creative. A lot of times it comes from the person themselves. But I want to give a lot of credit to whoever came up with the dynamics that everyone in the Elite is taking, starting with Hangman. Hangman has always had this identity crisis sort of thing, and it's reached, they somehow were able to tweak it just enough to where Hangman no longer is worried about who he is. He's almost totally consumed in no one else taking his place, even though he doesn't know who he is yet. And his infatuation with Swerve knowing who he is and becoming the guy, and that eating Paige up to the point where Paige basically exists only to make sure that Swerve doesn't become what he's supposed to become, is such a character. The way that they ended the match with Joe putting Hangman in a coquina clutch and Swerve about to go for the finishing blow that would have won him the match, and Hangman tapping out to ensure that Swerve did not pick up the victory, is, some would say cheap, but I say that's perfect character storytelling.
Which is crazy to think about for Paige, because he's become a character without having a character.
And that's the magic.
It's almost like, all right, so we know how great Hangman Adam Page is in the ring. There's no denying that. We know he's decent on the microphone. There's no denying that. But as far as his character work goes, it's like, okay, the character work is so trash to the point that you've kind of just embraced that it's trash and you're running with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, mm-hmm. again, we would normally not like, but it's better than anything Hangman Adam Page has ever done before. Exactly. So we kind of just go with it.
Exactly.
And exactly. It's so bad that it's admirable that it's sticking to it. So, yeah. I mean,
no one's ever leaned into the bad creative before. And it's an interesting way to choose your character. Yeah.
It's like the character now is, I hate you because you know who you are.
Exactly.
That's the character Hangman Adam Page has become.
And you know what? It's somehow it works.
It's like that scene from the movie Wanted with Angelina Jolie where she's beating up the guy and she's like, why are you here? He's like, I don't know who I am. That has become Hangman Adam Page. He doesn't know who he is and he's just getting his ass whooped for it.
Yeah, basically. He's hell bent on just not seeing anyone else succeed. And I love that. I love that. Cause like, you're not doing anything. Like, for the, how long would we like? He doesn't even like. He's happy. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what he's after. He's just there. He's like, so to be like, yeah, that's what it is. I don't know. So, I just don't want you to win. That's it. That's all it is.
So cheap plug, because if none of you understand what I just said, if you've never seen
the movie, go back and watch that movie.
Go watch Wanted with Angelina Jolie.
That is a funny movie.
And you will understand what I just said.
Yeah, that's a perfect illustration. So Hangman calls Swerve the victory. Joe wins. Joe retains. Thank goodness. Joe needs to remain champion for at least 6 months.
Yes.
Until they figure out all this other stuff. Because it seems like the longer Joe's champion, the more the show becomes better. Whether it's adding more creative, whether it's developing more solid storylines, whether it's the direction the Young Bucks are taking, whether it's from every angle, it seems like they're trying to improve the longer that Joe's champion. So let's keep that belt on Joe for as long as we possibly can.
Please and thank you.
And with that, we have to say goodbye. Sting had his final match. And as much as we wanted to be Darby versus Sting, it ended up being Sting and Darby versus the Bucks. And I wasn't mad at it because of the dynamic, again, that the leader taking, diving more into their characters. So, which also does make me believe that it was probably just them. It was probably the Elite thinking, how can we get over our trash characters into new characters that aren't so different, but are exactly what the people want somehow?
Mm-hmm.
And we think of the Young Bucks as dicks. We think of them as EVPs that are dicks. So to dive into that character and just be these clueless, power-hungry EVPs that everyone calls them is perfect character work. To use that character change as the fueling rivalry to get Sting is perfect. And I think they had great buildup. But more importantly, I thought Sting had an amazing showing. Even the bit that they got Ric Flair involved for, mm-hmm. I wasn't mad at. At first, I thought it was going to be the Bucks and Ric against Sting and Darby.
Mm-hmm.
Glad that was not the direction.
Yeah.
Even though it would have made perfect sense for Ric to be like, well, you didn't want me around, so I just went to the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have been a cheap thing to do.
Yeah.
That would have been a really cheap way to end that. So I'm glad that they double turned that into basically Sting and his whole, what do I want to say? Ragtag family. I don't want to say ragtag, but ragtag family, more or less.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His oldest friend, his kids dressed up as him, and the young guy that lives in a shack in the middle of nowhere. That's like his son, his third son. Mm-hmm. Like not really son. I thought they had a great showing. I thought they had an amazing showing. I thought the match was crazy. Super off the wall. Sting won with the Scorpion Deathlock. That was great. That's how you should go out. Mm-hmm. And he had a long speech after that I didn't watch all of, but I know that he brought out Tony Khan and he talked to all his sons because he had his sons there. And
Steamboat was there too, right?
I think Steamboat was there as well. So it was just, tell me your thoughts on it, because I thought it was just how you celebrated that.
And
it was
good. Yeah, I mean, it was, all right, so it wasn't over the top for Sting. It was like just right for Sting. Everybody else, you know, they took care of the over the top spots, you know, Darby going through the glass and everything else that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it needed to be, though. We don't want to see Sting going through glass.
No,
for God's sake.
Dear God, no. I didn't want to see Darby do it.
But you know, but, Darby, it's a match with the Bucks and Darby. You know how it's going to go. It's these people. But I liked everything that they did from the build up to it. up until, you know, the little packages that they did for Sting with everybody leaving the voicemails, him, you know, his son's dressing up like him. That was, it was fucking awesome. Excuse that my was French, awesome. But it no, was, that awesome. Was awesome. If we that can drop awesome. An F-bomb anywhere, it's right there.
Absolutely.
But like I said, it was great. We were a little peeved that it wasn't Darby versus Sting, but considering how it all played out and the dynamics of everything, AEW, you got it right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you get a round of applause for that. You did Sting well on his way out. You let mm-hmm. him go out on top too, because as over as the Bucks are, you do not need to put the Bucks over anymore. Mm-hmm. Which looking back on it, the Bucks are kind of the perfect tag team to do it, I guess.
Yeah, if they're gonna take the L, then it's best to do it with the Bucks.
And plus, that's
about as good as you could get.
And they could put a little feather in their cap that, you know, we were Sting's retirement match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'll touch on these three parts for me, and then we'll toss it over to WWE. But first thing I wanted to say was I thought the triple Stinger splash was great.
Yes.
I don't remember which son was Wolfpack Sting, but he probably had the best Stinger splash. Just watching it back.
I think the Red Sting was his younger son.
Was his younger son? Younger son's got a great Stinger splash. I mean, that looked just like Sting, like young Sting, like throwing your whole body to the wind. Mm-hmm. That was great. Darby going through the glass. Dude, you've got to stop eventually. Eventually, you're going to hit a wall, man. This is crazy. Dude,
this is not this CZW. This is
crazy, dude. Like, come on, dude. Oh, my God. This isn't GCW, dude. Like, come on. Like, I mean, I know you're the Steve-O of AEW, but this is crazy what you're doing on a daily basis. And I do hope, third thing, I do hope now that Sting is gone, you know, we've given him a great send-off. The tag titles are apparently going to be vacated and put up for a tournament. I really, really, really hope that this means a great singles run for Darby, because he has been wallowing in the shallow pool of bottom mid-carder for at least the past 2 years. And I really, really need somebody to step in and step it up for him, because I think he's been doing amazing things for the company with the outreach to the younger culture that he's been in, and the skating and the X Games culture and being mentored by Sting. I do hope that even though we didn't get Sting versus Darby, that coming out of this, now that we've reached this pinnacle and we've given them this great send-off and we've made it about Sting, that we can now shift to making it back to being about homegrown talent, because Darby's been there day one and I feel like he hasn't got a fair shake since.
I have a question for you. Who, I agree with you, Darby needs a singles run, a great singles run. Two roads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both roads are a championship road.
Mm-hmm.
Which road are you putting Darby on? Samoa Joe, Christian Cage. What's Samoa Joe going first? You go the Samoa Joe road?
Only because he's won the TNT title more than once. Him winning the TNT title now.
Oh, well, I fucked it up. Okay, but yes. Okay, so Joe. Anyway, I was.
Thinking, oh, do you mean Strong's title?
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what the Continental or the National.
The International.
All right, the International title or Joe. That's what I meant.
Man, that's tough, because it's only tough because of the work Orange Cassidy has done. I'll say it like this plainly so we can move on to WWE. Orange Cassidy has elevated that championship to the place that
Darby wouldn't need to get.
Not in actuality, but he's elevated it to being as strong as a title for AEW as the Intercontinental title is for WWE.
Okay.
After the world titles, the Intercontinental title is the top title. It might as well be a world title.
Yeah.
So I think because of the work Orange Cassidy has done with that belt, he has elevated it to a point where it might as well be a world title.
Okay.
Because of the status and the work that he's done to elevate that title to where it is.
Okay.
It's far classier and probably far more respected than the TNT championship is. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like the TNT championship really was just, who's the flavor of the month? Let's put it on them. Until Christian Cage got it, it was basically whoever had a lot of hype was going to become TNT champion.
So the TNT title is essentially the U.S. title.
It's essentially a U.S. title.
Okay.
So Cassidy, the place Cassidy is taking that belt to, I could see Darby going after Strong and winning that belt, but I feel like it would be more validating for Darby to go after Joe and win. Now, if Darby has to start with the international championship, I'm fine with that because then it'll elevate him to closing the show more often because Joe's not always the main event. Most times it's one of the mid-carders or possibly one of the women, but it's been Orange Cassidy numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to win that belt and then main event a lot of times as the international champion until it's time and they can create a way for him to go after Joe, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But he needs to be considered a main event world champion status because he's not that. And I feel like he is that to everyone else who's a fan of him, but not in the company per se.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll leave it there. I'd have him go after Joe.
Okay. So we're going to leave the AEW on the Darby going after Joe segment, and then we're going to caveat right on over to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of somebody who's going after somebody, this past Friday we had a street fight. You know, the LWO and Legado del Fantasma, they've been at a stalemate with each other as of late. There's been a lot of heads banging against the wall. And that wall might have just gotten spin kicked right in because lo and behold, we have a returning Rey Mysterio, Hall of Famer, right before WrestleMania, coming to the aid of the LWO, aiding Carlito in the win against Santos Escobar, which honestly, I didn't had Rey not come out. I had Santos winning before the match even started. So what do you think this means for Rey? Do you think this is going where it possibly might be going on the road?
Absolutely. It feels like it's got to be Santos versus Rey.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Santos versus Rey. I will take the entire LWO versus the entire Legado del Fantasma as a caveat or as a runner-up. But I would prefer it be Santos versus Rey only because and before I even touch on that, I got to give credit to Mrs. Jobber because I was talking shit. We're 34 minutes in, I can say that. I was talking shit because earlier in the day, literally maybe an hour or two before this happened, I was telling myself, you know, I'm thinking about us going to WrestleMania in Philly this year. And look out for us. I was thinking about going to WrestleMania this year, and I was thinking to myself, man, this will be one of the first couple WrestleManias we've seen without Rey. I'm a little sad about that. I feel like they've been, the way Triple H has been running these shows and running this card, Rey would be so good right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be disappointing. We won't get Rey Mysterio. And then literally, and I should have known because commentary, because Santos saying in the promo, we've got to end Rey Mysterio, blah, blah, blah. I should have known. But lo and behold, Rey comes to the aid of the LWO, who were definitely under Legado del Fantasma's thumb at the time, and probably would have been had Rey not come back. Because let's face it, they're not treating Carlito right. They're not doing right. They're not doing Carlito.
Not at all.
They need to be doing Carlito. They're doing Carlito like MVP, son. And not that MVP isn't also great, but like, let's come on, dog. Come on, dog. This is Carlito, son. This is Carlito. Anyway, Ray comes back, and I feel like this definitely has to be for the – it might be a passing of the torch match. I'm not sure. I think they might be leaving that to Dragon Lee, but I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure because there's also Andrade coming in, and there's a lot of moving pieces. That being said, I feel like it should come down eventually to Ray versus Santos, because Santos has always been about elevating the status of Lucha Libre, and Ray is the embodiment of Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
And there's only so many moments where we can elevate a guy. I mean, maybe now, but there's only so many times in WWE currently that we're able to elevate a guy, a Lucha, so high up and build his character up so good to be on par with a Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
Without being his son. So this would mean a lot for Santos if he could win. I don't know that he will win if it comes down to him and Ray at WrestleMania, but I feel like it would do wonders for the elevation of Santos, because everyone at WrestleMania wants to see Rey Mysterio. Everybody and their mama wants to see Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where it is, no matter how or why. And we know Ray's going to deliver at a WrestleMania. So to deliver at a WrestleMania across the ring from Rey Mysterio is doing nothing but raising your stock.
Exactly.
So I feel like...
I agree. Yeah. I do. I think it would definitely elevate him. And he's really the only one they can elevate at this point, because you look at the rest of the Lucha Libre stars that they have, excluding the people in the respective groups. Dragon Lee, you know, they're still trying to figure it out with him, naturally. Dom, easy way to go, but Dom isn't really Lucha. Dom is more the Lance Storm style.
Which is interesting, right? Dom's not even really...
He's more of a Lance Storm type of performer, which is not bad. Lance Storm was very talented. But, you know, he's more of a Lance Storm-esque style of wrestler. Andrade, we wanted it to be Andrade. But, I mean, Andrade's in more of his Ric Flair bag now. He's more the Eddie than the Ray. He's more the swag than Lucha at this stage of his career, which isn't bad. So no. Santos is the guy. And when you have a chance to do it, you might as well just pull the bow back and let it rip. So I agree.
And I think Andrade probably isn't even trying to develop any Lucha alliances right now.
Yeah, I think Andrade is just trying to do Andrade at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree with you. And then, you know, we're talking about groups, we're talking about alliances, lines being drawn, things of that nature. We thought lines had been drawn for Damage Control, but apparently not. Apparently now that line just got wiped away and it just became one giant circle of everybody circling Bayley. So Dakota Kai says she's helping Bayley. Now, for some of you fans who got suckered in, not saying any names, Duke, and thought Dakota Kai finally had turned a new leaf. Thought this was going to be something fresh. Man, oh man, were you wrong.
Yeah.
Same old Dakota Kai, up to the trickery and the bullshittery, and left Bayley high and dry to get stomped out in the ring by Damage Control.
Listen, man, you gotta blame... I think the blame goes to... The blame goes a little bit to Bayley, but I also think the blame goes a lot of bit to Raquel, just because I like to single out Raquel. Because Raquel made Dakota Kai the bad guy that she is at heart. Because Dakota's whole thing as a character, at least since the Raquel thing, has always been, I just want to be with the winners. I just want to be a winner. Raquel? I don't really want to be around it. Yes, since Raquel in NXT. That's how far back I'm taking this. Because you remember when Dakota turned and Raquel was like her big man, and Raquel stole all the spotlight and Dakota
had Right. Yeah, when she turned on Tegan.
Yeah. Well, that too. Oh, man, even all the way back, she turned on Tegan. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. She's not with the people that are always getting the spotlight. She never likes who you guys like because y'all never like her. So
but the bad thing is,
I could have told you, knowing my girl Dakota.
But the bad thing is I was starting to like her.
Yeah, well, you always start to like her before. Yeah, she's not with the people that start to like her, man. She wants you to like her from the beginning. She wants you to choose her. And the ironic thing here is the reason you have to put some of that blame also on Bayley is because Bayley likes too many people. The story of Bayley, somehow similar to the story of Ray, even though I think Bayley is actually a good friend, unlike Ray's at times, if you know my history documenting Ray Mysterio's relationships. I think Bayley genuinely does just want to help people. At her core, she is still that hugger Bayley, and she finally learned this time. She finally got turned on so many times that she saw this one coming. And it wasn't so much that she was surprised at the turn this time. She was just disappointed. Yeah. And I think that is her whole dynamic with damage control thus far, is that, like, I know you're rotten. I don't understand why. I don't get it. So I'm holding this spot in my heart for you that you're still good somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. But best believe I can see the turn coming. Now I can see it. I'm not naive anymore. So, I'm still got a pigtail in my head. Notice, as soon as she saw Dakota turn on her and she got the first opportunity, she was on her ass. She wanted all of the smoke. It wasn't mm-hmm. the shock and the awe and the resulting in the love. It was, oh, word. I knew it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm
like, you too? Okay. Wasn't even so a shock.
Even though you got to blame a little bit of it on Bayley for even taking the bait, I respect Bayley. You just got to respect her even more, because now it's like, man, she saw it coming and she wants all of the smoke. She's willing to stand all on her own and get the upper hand. She don't care. She's out for blood now, son. She's out for blood. And I love it.
My question is, do you think Bayley stays on her lonesome in this hunt, in this quest, or does she get back up eventually?
Where are they, on SmackDown?
Yeah. Because you mentioned
on SmackDown?
You mentioned a couple names. That are both on SmackDown. Happen to be on SmackDown. Both have a history with said person being treacherous.
That's true.
I mean, the numbers are still out of whack a little bit, but I mean, hey, they're a little more freshened up.
I mean, I could see it, but at the same time, the fan in me, I'll say it like this. The fan in me wants Bayley versus all of Damage Control night one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like she needs a story where she can overcome the odds again. She needs a story where she can be a character that's believable as champion, that's not so bright and colorful, but knows exactly who she is,
mm-hmm.
that can go out there, beat four people at once because she is just that good, and have you forced to put respect on her name. I've been seeing it since she picked Io Sky that certain wrestlers are coming out like, I don't see anybody putting the credit on Bayley's name like they need to, mm-hmm. for what she's accomplished, what she's doing, what she did, how she's handling things. I've seen a number of different wrestlers say she's just not getting enough respect. And if you have her stand on her own against all the people, minus probably Asuka, in front of all the people that she was helping succeed and being the missing piece for. Because make no mistake, she was the glue of Damage Control. She was whole reason it worked. Okay. Even though they didn't want to believe it, she was saving them at every single turn. So for her to stand in front of four people on their own, on her own, and beat all of them, to come out as world champion does nothing but force you to put respect on her.
Yeah, because who built
that's her match to win?
Yeah, it's like who built this? Mm-hmm. Who made this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Who saved this? And now who's gonna burn it all down?
Exactly. And I feel like you don't get a lot of feuds like that nowadays. You don't get a lot of one man wrecking crew stories nowadays. Not since like. I'm trying to think of the last time I remember one of those, like, just headhunting.
I'd say the closest thing was probably Randy and the Wyatt family.
That's who I thought of Randy and the Wyatts, or Randy and anybody. Randy was the last true headhunter was Randy. He did it with the McMahons. He did it with Nexus. He did it with Wyatts. He was the last true headhunter.
Yeah.
And we don't really have a lot of that going on. So Bayley is a headhunter for the Damage Control. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's what she needs.
Bayley got kicked out of her group. So now we're going to caveat to a group that recently made a new addition.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bloodline, we have the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns. The Wise Man. We have the Enforcer, Solo Sikoa. The Village Idiot, if you will, Jimmy Uso. And
the Village Idiot.
And the true. I don't even know what Paul Heyman called him. The tribal champion, the greatest people's champion of all time.
There you go.
The Rock. Not so much laying the smacketh down, but laying the challenge down for night one of WrestleMania.
We're going to be there.
And thank God it's night one.
Thank God.
Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody Rhodes and his little crybaby lackey, Seth Rollins, in the Tribal Rules match. Winners being, if Cody and Seth win, then Cody's match at Mania will be bloodline free. No bloodline in the ring, outside the ring, no bloodline in sight. However, if Rock and Roman win, that match at night two becomes tribal rules. Roman and Rock make the rules. They decide what they want to do. Rock wants to bash somebody's head in with a chair. He can do that. Jimmy wants to do commentary. He can do that. Solo wants to sing the national anthem. He can do that. Please let Solo sing the national anthem. So what did you think about this whole ordeal and how it came down?
Surprise was my first thought. When he said he wanted to fight Rock, I did not expect it to turn into a tag match, but after it turned into a tag match, it only kind of confirmed the thoughts that I had going into WrestleMania. And I tell you, I'll tell you what I told you before we started. No one is to be trusted.
I was going to say, you touched on this a little bit and you didn't want to get too deep into So please, sir, while we're live and living color, do tell.
Don't think anyone is to be trusted. Listen,
not a single soul.
I'm going to try and say two things that will kind of insinuate where my thoughts are going, because I don't want to say too much. I'm going to say, hate me if you must. I don't think Cody is winning at WrestleMania either way. I don't think them winning the tag match or losing the tag match will cause Cody to win or lose that. But I think Roman walks out of WrestleMania champ, and I don't think he's losing it until he beats Hulk Hogan's record. That is the first thing I will say. The second thing I will say is, on top of the hint that nobody's to be trusted, The Rock still ain't doing the hand right.
Thank you.
I think that's all we really need to know. If anybody's been watching the Bloodline for the past 3 years, that's a problem.
Yeah, you know.
That's a problem.
It's like this.
That's a problem.
This is the ones.
It's ones.
This is the gun.
I don't know what that is. This is how you do it. Now, the first night, like probably many of us, we thought, okay, maybe he just did it wrong because he ain't been here and he just was kind of doing it and didn't really realize. But the second time, you meant to do that. Uh-huh. You meant to do that. So nobody's to be trusted.
I agree.
Nobody's to be trusted. And honestly, I think I'll give you one more thing. Because I don't want to spill the beans. I'll give one more thing. I also remember that there's a guy with the money in the bank and Seth has other priorities. Understand that this is Cody's only priority.
Mm-hmm.
Cody and the Bloodline alone, nobody's to be trusted. But now you have Seth on the back end who's carrying extra weight he don't need to carry.
With a back that's already banged up.
With a guy eyeing him that's got a chip on his shoulder, whose karma is just starting to turn around for him. And you got a guy with the money in the bank running around as well.
And arguably the hottest faction right now.
And somehow all of that adds up to me to Roman winning at WrestleMania. I don't know if he's going to win on night one, but I guarantee he's going to beat Cody on night two. I won't tell you how I think it's exactly going to go and why, but for me, it's written on the wall that there's too many factors at play here for this to go Cody's way.
Now, and you know what? Like, you know, there's one other thing that kind of trickles in my mind a little bit, and I don't know how accurate I could be at this or if I could kind of be far-fetching this.
Mm-hmm.
There's also another rumored member of the Bloodline recently signed to WWE. Now, I don't know if that's just me reaching. I don't know if, you know, that's a little far-fetched in my book, but we still have another recently signed member of the Bloodline, quote unquote, that just came in and is slated to be here soon. I don't know
who you be talking about. Who would you be talking about, dude?
Oh, I don't know. A certain someone from overseas. You know, he's been he's been a part of another destiny, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. I heard he's a gorilla.
Running around with them gorillas. You know, Dad was a king. You know, he might end up coming in as the prince. You never know.
He is royalty.
Yeah.
But
that's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there, man. It's neither here nor there.
A lot, and
I'm sure the fact that Booker T is trying to get Jacob Fatu signed to WWE has nothing to do with what could potentially happen either.
Yeah, and just like, you know, Booker T's keeping Zilla under his wing for the time being, you know, a lot of things could happen.
Anything could happen.
A lot of Bloodline things happening, a lot of Bloodline things to look out for. I've decided we're going to close on this statement right here. Well, not even so much a statement, just an acknowledgement if you will.
Mm.
Recently, recently it was announced that we are getting the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024 in Philadelphia, none other than arguably one of the best promoters we've ever seen. Definitely the best advocate we've ever seen. One of the wisest men we've ever seen. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and the only Paul E. Dangerously, Paul Heyman. In Philadelphia, nonetheless. Like, it doesn't that just, you know, it makes my heart sing a little bit hearing that Paul Heyman is going to be inducted in our hometown. WrestleMania weekend under the bright lights and the weed smelled skies of Philadelphia.
Your weed smells definitely is gonna be
smoke. I mean, you know, there's gonna be some hot.
He fire. Would love nothing more. He would love nothing more.
And
you know what I'm saying?
There would be no better way to induct Paul Heyman in the Hall of Fame. Than in the city of Philadelphia.
How many years has he spent around RVD? He knows what it is. You know what I'm saying?
So for me, beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, we need Paul Heyman in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts?
I'll try to clock this quick so we can get out at about a little over an hour at that. Man, Paul Heyman, the father of Extreme, the godfather of Extreme, the godfather of ECW, in the town ECW was built in, at the biggest event you could have in Philadelphia, to induct one of the most special people in wrestling in Philadelphia. There's just no more perfect person, perfect choice to be first ballot Hall of Famer. And now I can't put out the TikTok video that I said claiming that he would be the perfect pick, because now it's true. So I'll put out a reaction instead. Paul might as well be Allen Iverson for us, for a wrestling fan. For basketball, it's Allen Iverson. For football, it's, you know, I won't go in about it. But Paul Heyman is the epitome of what Philadelphia wrestling is.
Mm-hmm.
He shaped the entire style of it. And for him to come here at WrestleMania to be inducted, I have no doubt that the building will be filled with tears.
Yes.
And he deserves all the praise in the world. He's one of the greatest, and he's proved to be one of the greatest his entire life. So, I mean, it's finally, it's the perfect place. It's the perfect time. It's the perfect guy.
I agree 100%. Like you said, perfect time, perfect place, perfect person. There should be no Hall of Fame induction in the city of Philadelphia, the birthplace of ECW, without Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, there shouldn't be one. Paul is the moniker. Paul is the face. Paul is the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
95% sure Paul is the headliner. And if he's not, he's the co-headliner. But it's still it's Paul. Paul's getting the biggest cheers.
And I'll tell you this. If there is a guy that is not from Philly, that is not ECW, that is co-headlining, they're making a mistake if they don't put Paul last.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't want to say this in a bad way, but I'm going to say it the way that it came to my head. If there's someone who's headlining this class with Paul Heyman, with all due respect and love, they're already dead. They have deceased.
Because if you're going on after Paul, if we find out you're going on after Paul,
yeah,
it's already a wrap for you. Like,
yeah. But that person would already be deceased if it's co-headlining with Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes this episode of the Dangerous Jobbers podcast It is time for us to get into our shout outs real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Jobber, who's going first? Is it me?
All
right. Is it you? Who will it
be? You go.
Okay. Well, you know what? Because I don't know if this person is on your shout out list.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take the brownie points real quick and shout them out. This person did something really freaking awesome. This person did something really fucking dope. And she's getting the shout out. My first shout out of the night, ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Jobber. She's got a video dropping real soon of a dope sign she made for WrestleMania. I'm telling you guys right now, that thing looks badass. If you have not seen the picture, go to our Instagram and check it out. Go to the YouTube page and check it out. Go to TikTok and check it out. It's going to drop soon. Make sure you go check out the entire process of how that went down.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you.
A very long time.
She just described it to me, and it sounded like a pain in the ass.
Yeah, dude.
But the final result was killer. So go check that out. If you haven't, you're going to need to.
Yeah, stay tuned, man. If you love crafts, if you love amazing signs, she put a lot of work in, and we'll put up a video of the whole process, and we'll drop extra content on it and everything. So definitely go check that out.
And when you go check it out, make sure you get me some brownie points and say, Duke told you to go check it out, not Stevie. And the second shout out I'm going with, the All About Wrestling podcast over there, Bobby Wrestling. He did something pretty dope too. He opened up a new wave to where when you call into the show, you can get some type of reimbursement for it, some type of compensation for it. Just for calling in and voicing your opinion. So make sure you go check out his show. Make sure you go call in, voice your opinion, let your voice be heard, and get something for it in the process, you know, because that's always what we like to see. And then, you know, we want to shout out, as always, the RK family, RK Pop doing his thing. He'll be streaming the new WWE game real soon as it drops. So make sure you go check out his dope content as well. And I'm going to shout out one more final place. You always do one, so I'll do one now. Acme Superstore. They got all the dope wrestling figures, all the dope wrestling content, all the dope figures in general. If you like figures, if you like wrestling, if you like stuff like that, that's the place you need to check out over there in Longwood, Florida. They got a website as well that you can go buy stuff on. So make sure you check out Acme Superstore. Those are my shout outs for this week. Stevie Jobber, it's your turn.
All right, man. Moving from one amazing store to another. 2023's best video game store in Philadelphia was Doghouse Gaming. I shout them out every pod for a reason, son. Best voted best video game store in 2023, Doghouse Gaming up in Quakertown. Please go there for all your video gaming needs. They have everything retro. They even have the new stuff. They have PS4, PS5. They have the Xbox One, so that's all the way down to Sega Genesis and all those other things. They also have arcade games. If you want to just bring your kids there to spend a few hours just BSing and let them pick out whatever, just don't stay too long. You'll spend a lot of money because there's just too many things there you want to buy. But it's a great atmosphere. It's great people. It's great company. And it's great games. It's just great stuff. Mm-hmm. They were voted best video game store in 2023. That was last year.
For a reason, might we add.
For a reason. So shout out to Doghouse Gaming. I love you, Tweak. I got to go back over there soon. Second shout out, I want to shout out Icon Lee. He's a pro wrestler that just followed us recently. And he's got a great look. He's just got a great look. And I'm a sucker for a great look. So I'm shouting him out. Icon Lee. On Instagram and TikTok, go follow him. He's a great African American wrestler. I want to give a shout out to Kev Brew. He's a comedian that also does wrestling content on TikTok, and he's just hilarious, man. He's been doing bits as like the Rock's assistant manager that bring me to tears. He's so funny. So go check him out. He's a comedian and he also does wrestling content on TikTok. Kev Brew. And last but not least, I want to give a shout out to Chris Bay and Love Doug because we made recent connections with them online recently. So just shout out to them. Chris Bay and Love Doug. Love you guys. And I think I'll do a fifth one just before I toss it to you to take us home. Anybody that's listening to us, man, we've been doing this for a long time, and we're just starting to get to a place where we can reach a couple more eyes. So if this is your first time, if you've been watching over years, man, thank you, man. Just thank you for being here right now. Thank you if you've been here this entire time, or if you just joined last year, the year before that. Just thank you for being here, man. And if you haven't liked and subscribed yet and you've been here, man, what are you doing? You've been here. You know what I mean? Stop acting like you're not a friend, you know?
Yeah.
Click that subscribe button, man.
You a jobber just like the rest of us.
Exactly, man. Put some wrestling over.
Yeah. But that is it for this week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. You see the stuff right here on the bottom of the screen. Make sure you follow us on all of the platforms. You got us over here on X. You got us over here on Instagram. I can't reach TikTok.
I'll do the one over here. If I can get the camera. Yeah, there you go.
TikTok, Stevie, right there. Stevie got you covered on TikTok. I got you covered over here on X and IG. Yes. And make sure, because we also have one of these too, make sure you check out the website, dangerousjobberswebsite.com. You'll go see Stevie's monthly spotlight. You'll go see the former wrestlers of the pods, some of the polls we got up. You'll see some of the old episodes we did. Mm-hmm. And you never know. There might be an Easter egg or two somewhere in there about what may come. But like we said, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys stay up. Make sure you guys stay blessed. And as always, stay dangerous.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?